Blessings to you all this morning again. It's been always encouraging to sit and listen to or worship the Lord together and listen to the other brothers share. May the Lord continue to speak to us and teach us from His Word. This morning, for a message, we will start out with a question. How many of you ever receive a letter of encouragement? I mean, we probably all have some. You know, where do these usually come from? Parents, siblings. Have you ever got one from prison? That's what we want to look at today. A letter that, an encouraging letter that came from prison. So if you want to, you can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Why don't we just pray before we start reading here? Father in heaven, we just thank you again this morning for this time we can have together to study your word. Lord, just illuminate the scriptures to our hearts and minds that we can understand it with our hearts and that we can grow in grace and in wisdom with you. Lord, we thank you that we can put our trust in you, knowing that we will not be disappointed. Thank you that we can cast our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. And Lord, may you just teach us by your word again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, this is a letter from prison. Here there's just a little outline in my Bible here for, says, prison is the last place from which to expect a letter of encouragement, but that is where Paul's second letter to Timothy originates. So, as we read this, think about this. This is not somebody sitting in prison getting a letter. This is somebody sitting in prison writing a letter to somebody that would be like where we are right now. I mean, if you were in prison, what would you write? What would you write to your family? Let's read it. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, you hear any discouragement in that one? I thank God, there's thanksgiving. We heard about being thankful this morning. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Praying for someone else, praying for somebody while he's in prison, and says praying for him night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I'm not sure what you think of when we read this. You know, here Paul is talking to Timothy, being mindful of his tears. I mean, what situation was Timothy in? He might have been in some tough situations, or maybe it was just because he knew how this affected Timothy, for him being in prison. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, And I am persuaded that in thee also. I mean, Paul is not bemoaning himself at all, but encouraging Timothy. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Actually, I didn't mention the title of the message. I had a couple different ones. The one I kind of stayed with is Strong in the Power of God. And that's what we see Paul coming out of his letter as he's writing Timothy here. Strong in the power of God, not in his own power, but in the power of God. We can see that as we started in there, you know, he mentions the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. He wasn't talking about himself. It's all about the Lord. And then in verse 7, I had just read that. It says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The children's lesson, Henry talked about fear. You know, that's quite often. We were talking, I think we were kind of reminiscing a little bit as a family, some of the fears that we have when we're young. And it's kind of funny to talk about that, but those are real, you know, when children are young. But He didn't come to give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. According to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, and according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's a precious verse for me. It says, For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How many of you know that in song? You ever sing that verse? That's a good little song to sing. You know, when sometimes you don't know for sure what to do in situations. For I'm persuaded, you know, God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phlegas and Hermogenes. The Lord giveth mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's first verse in chapter 2. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do we are, as I was studying for this, I was thinking of, you know, we all are familiar with trucks and tractors and motors. You know, they have power. You know, you put fuel in them, they run, they have power. We're a little bit like, I was thinking we're a little bit like a piece of equipment, but unless you hook power to it, it doesn't really do anything, or it's not really useful. It's good to look at, and that's about all we are. If God's grace isn't working through us, if God's power is not working through us, we're just a creation of His that hasn't been connected to the power source yet. But by God's grace, when His grace comes into our life, it changes. If you think I also had this little picture of, power. We've all seen it where boys try to arm wrestle. You know, who's the strongest? And there's nothing wrong with that. But when sometimes in a group setting, we go around and we do, we pick sides, we go through a number of people, and then there's a certain ones on a certain team, and you feel kind of sometimes, especially when you were young, I remember especially younger, when you were kind of glad when some of the older ones that you know could play real good, you were glad when they were on your team. Well, when God is on my team, and we know that He has all the power that, for me, that I need, it should humble us. When we're young, it kind of made us feel good, maybe a little proud. And I think we can have a little bit of that too, when we know that God is for me, He's not against me. God's power, strong in the power of God. I also put this, there's a question here that I put down here. And some examples in the Old Testament of what you think of when we think of strong in the power of God. Now, some of these are, I thought of Samson. Was he strong or was he weak? Trick question, huh? He was strong physically, right? We can be strong physically, like boys, arm wrestling. We can be strong physically, but weak spiritually. So Samson was both, right? He was strong physically, but he was weak spiritually. And Solomon, what about him? He seemed to be strong in what Lauren was reading this morning, in a lot of stuff, a lot of things. He was blessed, seemed like he was blessed, but when it came to the spiritual, his heart was led away by a lot of women. And I guess I want to encourage us to look, when we see, we tend to be, especially young boys, we tend to be awed maybe by something that, like a big truck or something that is really powerful. But that is not as much something to admire as somebody that is able to control his spirit, by God's grace. So I wrote down here, when does the power of God work through me? In Matthew, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. In Matthew 18, it says, at the same time, Matthew 18, verse 1, it says, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. So here we see, great is not what Jesus calls great, or in what man calls great, can be quite different. What the world calls great can be quite different from what Jesus calls great. If we humble ourselves, here he's saying, if we humble ourselves as a little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, how hard is that to do? How hard is it to humble ourselves? It can be pretty tough sometimes, right? And another one in Matthew 23:12 says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And then we're also familiar with in James, where it talks about, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you ever think of, you know, if you think of when we humble ourselves, we basically admit our need. We're admitting that we're needy. I was also thinking of this, you know, in the Bible, there talks a couple different times about beggars sitting beside the road and asking help. You know, they knew they were needy. But for us, you know, to be strong in the power of God, probably the thing that we need to realize is that we're weak. And we tend to not think that we are weak, or maybe you do more so than I do. I'm not sure. You ever think that? But it's depending what you put yourself, what you compare yourself with. If we just compare ourselves with one another, or do we compare ourselves with the Word of God? If we compare ourselves with God's Word, then we're weak, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There's a devotional that I says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This was Paul in Corinthians, when he had something in his, just in his, I don't know, was it in his body that kind of seemed like it bothered him, and he asked the Lord to take it away, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Here in this devotional says, a primary qualification for serving God with any amount of success and for doing God's work well and triumphantly in a sense of our own weakness. When God's warriors march forth to battle, strong in his own might, when he boasts, I know that I shall conquer. My own right arm and my conquering sword shall get unto me the victory. Defeat is not far distant. God will not go forth with that man who marches in his own strength. Now, if you hear that and you I don't know how many of you listened to the politics in the last couple months. It will not go very far. For a man that he will not go very far if he marches in his own strength. He who reckoneth on victory thus reckoneth wrongly, for it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Basically, it's by the Lord's spirit. If the Lord's spirit is working in our lives, saith the Lord of hosts, they who go forth to fight boasting of their prowess shall return with their gay banners trailing in the dust and their armor stained with disgrace. Those who serve God must serve him in his own way and in his strength, or he will never accept their service. That which man doth unaided by divine strength, God can never own. The mere fruits of the earth he casteth away. He will only reap that corn, the seed of which was sown from heaven, watered by grace and ripened by the Son of divine love. God will empty out all that thou hast before he will put his own in thee. Basically, you have to, that's becomes the humbling thing, is to basically, Paul, he said he considered his life, he considered all that he knew, he considered it dung, like manure. All the things that he had, you know, had he had grown up with for the sake of Christ. He had considered what he had learned. Basically, this what this is saying, he had get rid of what of his own righteousness, and then he can have the righteousness of Christ. He will first clean out thy granaries before he will fill them with the finest of wheat. The river of God is full of water, but not one drop of it flows from earthly springs. God will have no strength used in his battles, but the strength which he himself imparts. Are you mourning over your own weakness? Take courage. For there must be a consciousness of weakness before the Lord will give thee victory. Your emptiness is but the preparation for your being filled, and your casting down is but the making ready for your lifting up. When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield and Christ my song. When I am weak, then I am strong. I think the hardest part probably is to realize our weakness. You know, I was thinking, I think God made us on purpose that we're so easily influenced, or we can so easily be influenced by the wrong thing. But because of his power to usward who believe, it is, you know, if we have that connection, if we have that power of God in our lives, it makes the difference. So the question was, when does the power of God work through me? When we humble ourselves. That is the power of God works through us. I just heard the other day, I think somebody was saying, we tend to, you know, young boys sometimes, you know, they get these big trucks and looks like they're really powerful and they have some kind of status, but then you hear that maybe they're living with they're not married and they're living with their girlfriend. It's just, I don't know what goes through your mind. It's like void of the power of God. Anything but the power of God. Or then they're totally naive to what the Bible teaches. Because we know that those things, people living in fornication, adultery, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Humble yourselves. Even Peter also mentions about that. When does the power of God work through me? Peter says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Giveth grace. Grace is like God's power to mankind, or his favor. There's different meanings for grace, but it's God's undeserved. Sometimes it's people say God's undeserved favor. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So here we see what it takes. There's probably other things that might be going through your mind. What it takes to come in, or to have, how would you say, to be connected to the power source of God. Strong in the power of God. That's what Paul told Timothy. In Ephesians, we just had Bible study here not too long ago, and we finished up in Ephesians chapter 6. We know what it says. Is it in? Let me turn to that. It also mentions, be strong. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. In the power of his might. And then he says how to do that. In Ephesians, you know, he says to put on the whole armor of God, and it's says we wrestle not against flesh and blood and against principalities, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then if we read on the rest of that, you know, it to put on the armor of God. What are we using that armor? Prayer. Prayer and salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the armor that we put on to walk in the power of God. Okay, another one. Number one is how do we walk in the, what it takes to walk in the power of God. Another one, number two I put down here is, exalt the Lord, make mention of the things that he has done for you. You know, I think that is a big one. When we, and we'll see this in, how when we with our voice proclaim what the Lord has done for us, it actually honors him. Let's look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. This was right after the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea. And then it says, then sang, this is a song, chapter 15, it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. If you read on the rest of that chapter, or is it down to verse 20, where it's a song? Verse 2, it says, the Lord God, I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, where's God's habitation? In our hearts, right? And if we exalt him, we are honoring him. David also had different psalms also mentions this. There's Psalms 61:2. It says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. And then in Proverbs, Proverbs 18, verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. If you want to, you can turn with me to Psalms chapter 71. We're going to read that psalm. I mean, as I was going through here, I was just underlining, circling things on here. It's just, on mine it says, prayer for the age. Now, anybody in here that's older? We might have Carol here. She's a little older, but it says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation. How would you say that? Be thou my strong habitation. In other words, would be like, be my strong dwelling place. Whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. I mean, here it's just like, where else? I mean, that's God is my hope. He's my source. Verse 6, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And then verse 7, look at this one. It says, I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. You know, how many people do you know you and think, I don't know if he's ever going to amount to anything? Or here it says, here David's saying, like, I am a wonder unto many, but then what? But if people don't think much of you, that's okay. Isn't that okay? I mean, it can affect us sometimes, but don't let that be your strength. I mean, that usually takes us down. Here it says, but thou art my strong refuge. People can look at you cross-eyed and think, I don't know about you. But God can, but when we have our, if our desire is after the Lord, I mean, you know, because people know you, maybe how you've been or kind of know how you were when you grew up, that doesn't mean that you can't put your faith and trust in God and lean on him for strength. I mean, I just love that verse. And then it says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise, verse 8, and with thy honor all the day. What's that? What is that? What does that look like? That means that you're proclaiming God's goodness. You're proclaiming God's goodness. Let my mouth be filled with praise. Forget what those people say that are, I don't know. Forget those. But let your mouth be filled with the praises of the Lord. Tell what great things he has done for you. Verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. And he says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and confused that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. And he says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Is that our testimony? We know there's a verse that talks about I thought it was the one. There's also another one where it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It's like anybody can leave us on earth, but the Lord can still be my helper. But I will, verse 14, and I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. See, that's another one. I mean, there's verbal. It's like when we, with our mouth, we praise the Lord, we are fighting against principalities and powers, because we're making a statement against the principalities and powers when we do it. Sometimes when things don't look so good and we just get discouraged, all we have to do is start to praise the Lord and it almost seems like the evil powers have to flee when we do that. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Young children, there it says, thou hast taught me from my youth. And the next verse, I really love this one too. Now also, verse 18, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Basically, as long as you're here, show God's grace and power to every generation. Because, I mean, I think it was good when the children's lesson, you know, we pray when we have need, and you know, we trust God to watch over us in storms and when we get into difficult situations. But I guess that verse 18, I guess especially, means a lot to me. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power unto everyone that is to come. Is that our heart? Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. And then verse 23 is also a verbal. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue, verse 23 says my lips, and then verse 24 says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. To me, is that chapter is a testimony of instead of looking on myself, is looking to God and proclaiming His goodness. That is a way that we can exalt the Lord. Make mention of the things that He has done for you. In Joshua chapter 1, you know, when the children of Israel, after Moses died, God was talking and telling Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. And I don't think he was saying being strong in his own might, but being strong in faith, be strong in faith and of good courage. It says it four times in Joshua chapter 1, where God tells him, be strong and of a good courage. In closing, I'm not going to sing this song, I'm just going to read it. It's an old gospel hymn. I think quite a few of us know it. It says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Is that my heart? If nothing else, I'd like for us to get is that we realize that we're weak, but God is strong. And when we're weak, we can go out and we're not ashamed to ask the Lord when we have need. Just like the beggar that was sitting out by the road, Bartimaeus, I think I looked at that this morning. He went out there, and he was blind, and he had a need, right? And when he heard that Jesus was coming, they told him he should be quiet, and he just cried out the more, have mercy upon me, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was not, and that's, I think, when we have a need, when we realize our weakness, our need, we're not going to be ashamed to ask the Lord to have mercy on us. But when we're sufficient, then we're not as likely to ask. I guess in saying that is, do we see that we're weak? I see that I'm weak? That's what this songwriter says. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. When we realize our weakness in certain areas, we ask the Lord to keep us. Then the chorus says, just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? It's a question mark. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who in the world cares? I mean, yeah, there might be some people that care, but nobody cares as much as what he does, what the Lord does. Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. On that bright eternal shore, I will walk, dear Lord, close to thee. I like the chorus too, where it says, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Is that my heart? To walk close to the Lord? If we humble ourselves, he can, his power will become available to me. But if we're proud, then his power, he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. There's probably a lot more that could be said, but I will close with that, and may the Lord continue to work in our lives, that we can be strong in his power. Because power, what the world honors as power, God looks at it in a different way. When we are strong in him, we can withstand temptations, which is way more commendable than all of the power that the world offers us. May the Lord bless you.